Thank you everyone so much for being here and welcome. This is the City Council Work Study Meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as Mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council seated next to me. Thank you all for your service and all you do for our city. We have our outstanding staff here, some of them. We have more coming. They're a little in and out, but our administrative staff, busy as ever, and the best in the state. I always say it, and I mean it. Thank you to all of you for all that you do. We appreciate it. We're going to open tonight's meeting. First, I'm going to welcome everybody else who's here. Actually, we have a lot of visitors here with us, and we welcome each of you. Thank you for being here. And any who might be watching online or who might join us later, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. We will open this meeting with an invocation by our city manager, Mr. Gary Watcott.
All right, dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful we could meet here this evening as city officials and our various roles and capacities. We're grateful that we have an opportunity to serve our residents. Pray that you'll guide us and inspire us to be innovative and creative in our solutions to our community's concerns and problems. And we pray that we can continue to serve with all integrity and the ability to perform our duties to the best of our abilities. We're grateful for the blessings that our community has received and for the residents that we have who live here and call this home. We're grateful for the prosperity that we've found in our lives and those across most of our community as well. And we're grateful for the food that's been brought to us this evening. We pray that we'll nourish and strengthen our bodies. And we're grateful for it. We're grateful to live in a free land and a country that allows for citizen input and for governance by the people. We're grateful for these blessings in our lives. We pray now that you'll guide and direct our council and inspire them in tonight's discussions, that they might have insight and inspiration to do the right things for all of our community. We're so grateful for all that we have been given and for the blessings we enjoy. And say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Watcott. All right. Mayor and council coordination. Anybody have anything you'd like to bring up?
Mayor, a couple things.
Go ahead.
As a reminder, or to inform the council, there's Art on the Town and Quilt Show event out here in front of City Hall on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Art on the Town part is through a third-party vendor, and the Quilt Show is being sponsored by the Arts Council. And then on June 22nd, it'll be the Bingham Creek Regional Park ribbon cutting, followed by a park celebration.
June what?
22nd.
It's a Thursday, right?
Yes.
Is that on our calendars?
I'm not sure if it was on everyone's or not.
I think Stephanie put it
up. Did you? I don't know.
I'm checking.
I've had a little insight on it, so it's been on my calendar for a while.
Yeah, that insight scoop.
The calendar is
on my calendar.
So I, oh, it is.
It is. Okay.
Well, I might have put it there. Yeah, I added it myself.
Okay.
So is it from 2 to 4?
Well, that will be probably the actual, like, ribbon-cutting part. But the fun part will go, like, from 4 to 8.
Oh, really?
So,
I only have 2 to 3 on my calendar.
Wow.
So you'll have the ribbon-cutting part. And then if you wanted, you could run home and change into some fun, relaxing outfit and come back, enjoy your food trucks and
so I'm putting fun
other
part
activities.
On my calendar.
Yeah, put the fun part.
Boring, stuffy part.
Fun part.
Or you run over to
believe me, there
yeah,
is
can we come change and get
yeah.
ready?
Go, yeah. Run home, change, come back, food trucks and other activities will be planned.
That is literally what I'm putting on my calendar, fun part from 4 to 8.
And then I was wondering if we could get an update on the Dabble puzzle project.
Mm.
I joined via Zoom that night, but I thought there was something about a community committee that needed to be put together, and I was wondering where we're at on that, and also wondering about creating the city tagline. We had discussed that
one of our meetings. On the Dowdle puzzle, it's all in their hands now, and they are working on that. We're supposed to see the draft, I think, in August. I believe.
Is that going to be brought to all of us?
You'll get to see that. But it's basically in the artistic hands now. Okay. We provided them with a bunch of the historical things about the city. They've toured the city. They've been out talking to people, and now the artists are working on it.
Was there supposed to be some type of resident committee or
no,
something?
No, they only suggested that.
Oh, it was only a suggestion.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It was something other communities have done. And
okay.
It was just
but
a
not a requirement.
But it wasn't
okay.
A requirement.
Basically, staff went out with them and that was it.
They went out on their own.
Yeah,
oh.
They've done their own work.
They do a lot of their own
We did
research.
Meet with them and give them some information, but they also did their other, and we gave them some contacts to go to and
okay.
Stuff. So they did their own research. But actually, we had a discussion about them today, and they've had a lot of changes, and Mel's had a hard time trying to get in touch with them. But as far as we know, it's moving along.
Okay.
But, and then over by the splash pad, we have where the large community puzzle's going. That's under construction right now.
Okay.
Wait, what is that?
Yeah,
the large.
Remember, there's a.
Like a 10 by 15 foot version of the puzzle. That will be put there.
By the splash pad?
Yes.
Yeah. What we did is
we
made it a selfie location. So you can take your selfie in front of the Sojo puzzle photo.
Remember, it's part of the national celebration. There's 100 cities that will have one of these. And you go there and try to solve
the
mystery.
Well, yeah, we chose to do it as our selfie wall in the city that people could come and take it and put it in the city.
So it actually is right across the street from the entrance of the senior community center.
Okay.
And it'll face Redwood Road, so you as you drive down, it'll look like a billboard. You can actually see it there, and it'll have lighting on it. And there's a place where you can gather around it, take a selfie, and
okay.
And all that.
It's an enlarged version of the puzzle, whatever the puzzle.
Yeah, it's pretty large.
It's big.
It's big.
We talked about having this ready by Summerfest.
It will not
still?
Be ready by Summerfest. It will be ready by Light the Night.
No, Light the Night's the kickoff for the puzzle.
Oh,
Light the Night?
Yeah.
Because we were going to sell the puzzle
gonna
at the Summerfest.
Going to sell the puzzles.
It'll be at the next Summerfest. Remember, we have exclusive licensing for the first 12 months.
Okay.
Well, the first sales of that puzzle will be available at Light the Night just before Christmas.
Okay.
And then it will also be available for sale at Summerfest in 2024.
The reason we are putting this together now is we did an addendum to the existing contractor that's doing the splash pad. So we didn't have to remobilize another, and we saved quite a bit of money by doing that and just added it to that project. So that's why it's being kind of built now instead of later. But we won't have the puzzle pieces till after December of this year.
Okay.
And we can create an event around that because they're very large pieces. Like you could all put a piece up into the puzzle area and can make invite people or VIPs or whatever you want to do, and everybody can add a puzzle piece to the board.
Okay, so puzzle will be ready for Light the Night. The wall will be ready for
whenever
next summer.
When we get ready to do
okay.
It.
Which would be after
which would probably be when
puzzle's
the weather's
released.
Better.
You probably don't want to do it in the winter. But.
No.
No.
Okay.
But
okay.
We could save a lot of money by doing all that work and having it prepped and ready to go now.
Got it.
We haven't talked about
that since strategic planning. It's on the list of items that we'll bring back.
I just have one item. I was hoping Mr. Clavino could maybe give us an update on where we're at with the Bangor 9800 intersection, and maybe a 2 or 3 minute.
It won't take that long, but they're out with the RFP to hire a design builder. I think it closes like in 2 weeks, and then they'll spend a month or so evaluating it. And their goal is to have a contract where they contract their group, you know, they have a designer contract. By the third week of July is last I heard. And then it'll probably be about 3 or 4 months of design work before they really start much construction. So we probably won't see any construction towards the end of the year, maybe November-ish,
okay.
December.
That's good.
And then they'll get into full bore next year on construction.
Yeah, I thought it was fall. And so. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. All right, our regular council meeting, let's just go through the agenda really quick. We've got a couple of public hearing items. We've got the one that we pushed
2 weeks ago. We pushed back for 2 weeks for just a few slight changes in the wording so that it can really be used as a template for communities across the state regarding our station area plan requirements. So we'll have that resolution. And then, you know, if that passes, then we'll submit that. Talking about, this is spelled out really well in the executive summary, but in our code, right now there's not an exception to the requirement that for the PD zone, when the applicant enters a development agreement, there isn't anything that says if it's the city, if we actually are the applicant, that we don't have to go through some of that same process, which just makes sense. I mean, it just really makes sense. However, we're going to spell it out clearly that way. So, Mr. Lewis, if you'd like to
essentially
color that.
To comply with the code, we'd have to make an agreement with ourselves, which is nonsensical. So, we're proposing an exemption for the city. Comply with everything else, the rezone process, the public hearing process, the concepts. Is it called a concept plan or a...
Yeah, a concept development.
Basically, a concept development. Everything else, the only thing we're not requiring is that we actually make an agreement with ourselves, which would be silly.
And the idea would be whatever we'd attach to an agreement, you just attach to the ordinance.
Yeah.
So that there's a record of.
To the rezone ordinance.
To the rezone ordinance, yeah.
So that rezone ordinance would look a little different than what you usually see, but I mean, significantly the same. So from a public process, if the public was thinking we were trying to get away with not showing something, no, you'd see all the same stuff.
It really is just kind of a simple common sense. That actually is weird, but we're just going to clean it up so that it's stated that way. Any questions about that? Okay. Adopting our final budget and appropriations for the next fiscal year. We had some conversations about that. Do you have any additional questions that we're going to talk about here, saving for the next meeting?
Sunil said he'd answer my questions at in the next meeting. So.
Okay, great.
And I think that's perfect, actually, for that.
Great, thank you. And then the same thing for the RDA. We'll adjourn to do the budget for the RDA as well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's not. We have one more item on the agenda that we need to amend the agenda. Hold on. You know what? That's what happens when I come down here and my notes are on this agenda and there's a new copy in front of me. Anyway, sorry. I should have done this quite some time ago. Very quickly, before we move on, I need to ask for a motion to amend this meeting's agenda to add an item E2, and it was just left off by mistake. It's always been planned to be on this agenda. It just was left off by mistake. Item E2 would be a presentation by Grant Farnsworth with UDOT doing a presentation about 114 South and options for the future for 114 South.
I think there was also a possible closed meeting.
Yep.
Either during this or the next meeting, wherever you think it fits.
Wherever you think it works.
Or potential litigation. I'm hoping we can keep it 15 minutes or less.
I'm not certain which meeting that's going to fit best under.
Let's do it in the next meeting.
Let's do the first two items. If it looks like we'll have time, we'll amend it again and add it.
I think so too.
Would you want the amendment now?
So I do need a motion to amend this agenda to add an item E2, a presentation by UDOT about 114 South.
Mayor, so moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of amending the agenda and adding item E2, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That was just a mistake. It just got left off, but it's been on the plan for quite some time. It just didn't get put on there. So we'll add that, item E2. All right, next we're going to turn. We have a discussion from the Convention Tourism Assessment Area. We're going to turn to Brian Priest, our Director of City Commerce, and the Executive Director of Sports Salt Lake?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Clay Partain is here with us, and they're going to give us a presentation on this.
Yeah, Mr.
Welcome,
Partain.
Welcome, all of you who are here. Thanks for being here.
Oh, sorry. Mr. Partain will lead this discussion. Gary and I have been working with them. Clay, you're welcome to have any of your group that you'd like to come up and join in this discussion.
Yeah.
And
would you like to take a seat?
Yeah,
just
take a seat.
That's
why we set this up this way. We want, we'd like
perfect.
We want to be able to have a good conversation. So please.
Before Clay gets started, the expectations tonight is to have a discussion. If it's something that the council wants to move forward, then we'll put it on the next regular agenda with a resolution and a public hearing.
Awesome.
So there's no decisions necessary to be made, unless it's something you don't want to move forward to with, and then we just...
Well, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council, for allowing us to present today. This is very exciting. I'm Clay Partain. I'm executive director of a division with underneath Visit Salt Lake called Sports Salt Lake. We were actually designed and launched in January 2021 under Visit Salt Lake with the focus on bringing more sports tourism to the valley-wide area of the county. So we work with around 25 venues throughout the valley. We figure out what strategies are that we need to tackle to bring more sports tourism to each of those venues. Let's say Rad Canyon, for as an example. And then we pursue and market to bring more events. So just to back up here, so CTAA, so this stands for the Convention and Tourism Assessment Area. I'm hoping you maybe were able to read a little bit of some of the information we had sent along to you all. But these this is essentially, in other locations, it's commonly called a Tourism Improvement District. There's about 200 of these around the country in place and growing. It's a trend that a lot of destinations and cities are moving towards for a number of reasons. For the CTAA, as it stands for us, this would be a 2% fee added to the end of the hotel bill. So this is not your constituents. This would be the visitors. So as they check out, they would have a 2% additional fee on top of their normal fees that they're charged. So right now, Salt Lake's at a 13.82% tax. This would be an additional 2% on top of that.
So just 15.82.
Salt Lake City or Salt Lake County?
2%.
Is that?
2%.
That 13.8.
That includes, that should be what you see in South Jordan in a hotel when you check out. Can you verify that, Nick?
So Salt Lake County, yeah, not Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
So let me just restate. You said 13.8.
13.82.
And we're going up 2. It's 15%.
2%.
Oh, not 2 points.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, we can show you a lot of examples. And actually, the paperwork I sent over has examples of other places and sort of what these fees look like in other places. We're on the low side in almost every situation you can compare us
You've
to.
You've traveled anywhere, you know that.
Yeah. Yes. You go to Anaheim, you pay 17.2%. of any of those hotels around Disneyland. So again, this is visitors, not our local constituents. Should you support this resolution by voting yes on, I believe we have it set up for May 16th in place.
Yeah, it's tentatively set.
Tentatively. This would allow South Jordan to join Sandy and Draper in what is called the South Valley Region CTAA. So this would be a combined effort to market this region of the valley specifically, and these funds would go towards marketing events and initiatives that benefited this region of the valley.
Can I ask you one quick question? How do you distinguish between visitors and constituents then? If I go stay at Grand America, if I stay at a Marriott.
Yeah, and we've talked to some of our hotel partners about how they could pull this based on zip code or otherwise. We believe this is less than 0.01% of all hotel stays in the county are locals. So the vast majority are visitors coming in from outside the county. Now, those visitors might be your aunt and uncle from Tennessee, but these are visitors from outside.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
What's that? How are you going to distinguish?
So I think
if I go
and stay at a hotel, I stayed at hers when I remodeled my house.
No distinguishing. I mean, you would pay the
That'd
fee
be pretty
if you're a local, but you're talking about an extraordinarily small percentage.
Okay.
So we're going to have a committee comprised of hoteliers from this area to oversee the spend of these funds. The management company would be Visit Salt Lake that would oversee this. These funds would be used to leverage more tourism-related events in the area. And I'm going to dive into how we might use those funds, but I wanted to first ask if we could just hear a few words from We brought two of our hotel partners that both operate hotels here in South Jordan. So I thought I would turn it over to Melee with Embassy Suites South Jordan.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Mele Magawi, and I'm your neighbor right up the road up at South of Jordan Embassy Suites by Hilton. And thank you for letting me speak this evening. I have a couple of facts that were provided to me by Visit Salt Lake, and it's 1 in 12 and a half workers are employed in the hospitality sector. And I've worked in the industry for over 30 years. My high school age children, my college children, and my husband also all work in the hospitality industry. It's a family business for many. And Western States Lodging, their mission statement is serving you like family. And we serve locals as well as visitors, just like family. Western States Lodging and Management also has invested in South Jordan as we play an important role in lifting the tourism for South Jordan and surrounding area. We strongly believe in the CTAA and that it'll give the hospitality community more opportunities to bring more business to the city. Thank you.
Thanks, Melee. And then Nick, if I could ask you to say a few words. Nick's with the Spring Hill Suites, South Jordan.
Yeah. So regional sales with Sequoia Hospitality, but yes, over Spring Hill Suites. And we have invested in your city with the Spring Hill Suites property. We also believe in the power of tourism and really just what it brings to the local economy. And so Sequoia is not new to hospitality. We actually brought in the very first Hyatt Hotel to Utah. The Hyatt House in Sandy actually was the very first Hyatt. We also manage four hotels along the Wasatch Front. We own five. And our Spring Hill Suites South Jordan is one of our flagship properties. Very proud to be part of South Jordan. We also support the CTAA, and along with 74% of all the hotels in the overall district support the CTAA as well, and we hope you will as well.
Perfect. Thank you. A little bit on the legislation and how the hotels. County has to.
Right. Yeah. So this last year, House Bill 373 went through that gave us the ability to launch a tourism improvement district. So some of those requirements that we had to meet were we had to get at least 60% of all hotels to sign a petition. And I'm pleased to say we're up to 74% and growing. We're still engaging with some of the hotels that were that didn't respond. And I can say I'll tell you in large part the hotels that didn't give us a petition didn't respond. And it's if you go to some of these properties, let's say My Place Hotel, and you try to track down someone that knows anything about that hotel, it can be tricky. Sometimes they're like, hey, you got to call this guy in Ohio, and you get on the phone with somebody in Ohio. And so some of these hotels would just simply, they're not really designed to be able to have someone contact them and talk to them on such a high level. So they end up passing you up, and part of it's just connecting the dots. But I'm proud to say we're well beyond the threshold that was needed. The other requirements that were needed were that, and this was per the legislation, that each municipality, and there's nine municipalities that have been involved in this district, that each municipality council gets to vote, pass a resolution on whether they agree with it or not, and that will allow their hotels to either participate or not. So by voting yes on this, you are allowing your hotels to participate in this endeavor to try to get as much out of it as they can in terms of tourism. If you vote no, then unfortunately the hotels within South Jordan municipality will not be able to participate in the CTAA and will not be able to benefit from them. Now, I should say that Visit Salt Lake, we represent the county for tourism, and we're continuing to work hard to represent all of the county when it comes to growing tourism. And I would like to give a few just specifically for South Jordan, some sort of dive into the nitty gritty of some of the tourism we've actually experienced around here. So I don't know if you've heard about AJGA, that's American Junior Golf Association. We've spent the better part of a year courting this organization. through the efforts of Chris Robinson, who's sitting right over there, who is our sales manager in the South region area. So Chris actually reps and tries to promote tourism for this area of the Valley, and also Evan Bowerly, who does the same thing Chris does in the west side of the Valley. Through both of them, they were able to get AJGA interested in Utah and Salt Lake. And then we had to flush out what golf course could actually be willing to handle this. Well, we did a lot of research and a lot of calling. And as soon as we got a hold of Darcy.
The obvious from, answer.
Does everybody know Darcy? Wow. And so Darcy grabbed this thing and really made it viable. But I can tell you, there was some investment from our end. We there was about $30,000 that we had to commit to make AGAJ possible to come to Glenmore in South Jordan. And I'm pleased to say we signed a three-year deal, Sports Salt Lake did, to guarantee our involvement with AJGA in this tournament. We're actually the presenting sponsor. So we're really proud of that, and we believe that this is just sort of the start of some of the wonderful things that we have going in this area. Bingham Creek Regional Park, as Brian can attest, I've been calling these guys over the past year, like, okay, when can we start selling these rectangular fields in this park? We're a bit of a specialist when it comes to selling multi-rectangular fields when you have them in a group together. So the Regional Athletic Complex, which is in Rose Park, they have 16 of these rectangular fields. They're highly marketable. We book about $25 million in direct impact groups that go into the Regional Athletic Complex. So as you can imagine, we're watching these fields get developed over here, and we're like licking our chops, like we can't wait to be able to have an opportunity to work with your city and work with Salt Lake County on marketing and selling those fields, because there's a huge market for those. The bees moving to Daybreak. This is so exciting and gives us yet another venue that we can go out and sell. There's going to be a lot of nights where there's not a bees game going on, and the bees are going to want, and your community is going to want that venue being used. And the CTAA funds can go directly into projects like that. Case in point, we're working with the bees right now. This would be for an event next year before they leave their downtown area. But it's called Savannah Bananas. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's kind of like Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. And they draw these huge crowds, and we're working with them right now. We don't quite have it totally booked, but we're on the verge. And, you know, these types of things cost money. They were wanting upwards of $40,000-$50,000 from our destination to even consider coming here. Now, we've kind of negotiated that, talked them down, and we're in that more of that $15,000-$20,000 ballpark. These things cost money. And when we get that venue over here, we're gonna want to be able to target that thing and really go after it aggressively. And we can use CTA funds for that. And, you know, I did want to highlight, you know, Chris has done great things with USSSA for softball. We work with the Rocky Mountain Nationals that comes to South Jordan. It's a great event. It brings about 2.9 million from what we've been able to measure, and brings over 2,300 unique visitors into the area. We also work with Rad Canyon, and we're sponsors of both USSSA and Rad Canyon when it comes to the Salt Lake Nationals event that they host over there. So we put money into these events. Now, what we're trying to do is get more money so that we can go after more of these types of things. And it is a game out there. It is very much stiff competition between us and these other destinations. Anaheim, for instance, they love the indoor sports like cheer and dance and volleyball, because they can put it in their convention center right next to the Disneyland park. And they can sell that, and who doesn't want to go to Disneyland? Vegas, they market and sell their smoky casinos to have youth baseball teams and things go into Vegas. They give them super low rates, but it brings in the parents. The parents spend money in the casinos. It all trickles back. So back to where we're going, though, we do see a need for more of this money, and we see a unique opportunity to market the South Valley area. And we believe this is the right solution for and the right tool of what we need in our arsenal. Sandy's highly supportive. They're going to have their final vote tonight. Draper is our first initial meeting. They were highly supportive. They did ask for a couple of follow-up items. So Tyson on our team's meeting with them at 6 o'clock tonight. And we'll have their official vote here in the next 2 weeks, I believe. So everything's going together. We did have Riverton that we presented to. It was unfavorable over there, but Riverton also doesn't have a hotel. So they're at the end, their reasoning for not coming on board was simply that they didn't have a hotel, so they didn't understand why they really needed to pass a resolution to start with. We were simply saying, hey, what if you build a hotel in 5 years, it'd be good that you were already on board with this, but it's okay. You'll have another opportunity in 5 years. So I did want to ask Jay Francis with South Valley Chamber, if you wouldn't mind saying a few words, Jay.
You said it all.
Did I? Okay.
No, my role, I'm not going to have a role in this. My role is to support my chamber members, our hoteliers, and to tell you, we do have a fund we get from Sandy, from a TRT, that we have formed a tourism committee, and we have made that South Valley tourism, not Sandy tourism, and Mayor Zotonski and the city council knows that, and the Woodberries are the ones that put the most money in. And they said, look, let's open this up. And Melee sits on our committee, and Chris has really done a good job. The events that we're working on are, you know, these three-on-threes, the basketball, the volleyball. We had cornhole, and we made ESPN. You know, and so we're making news for the South Valley. We spent $116,000 last year. Our ROI was 333%. I've asked my finance guy if he can do that. He said no. But the economic impact on that $116,000 was $36 million in return. If there was more funds that we could do to promote South Valley and South Jordan, we'd be able to bring more visitors here. The restaurants benefit, you know, the ancillary businesses. But the committee is not, I won't be on the committee. The chamber won't be part of it. It's just more of a voice of what we've been able to do with tourism dollars that we already have. And hearing my chamber members, you know, as the hoteliers, you know, yes, go ahead, charge my customers more so I can bring more customers. That's kind of, so. And you welcome me as a visitor. I'm family here, you know, so.
So I'll open it up to questions.
Anybody have any initial questions?
No, you go ahead.
Same time. Go ahead. So were there any hoteliers in South Jordan that didn't respond? Or?
Yeah, I have the official list here. So Holiday Inn South Jordan, Embassy Suites, Sleep Inn, and Spring Hill Suites all signed the petition. La Quinta South Jordan and Super 8 were not able to even get a dialogue going. It's just the case you go in there, the front desk person is also the housekeeper, and they're like, be right back. And then a half hour later, they come back. Sorry, I don't have time to talk. So,
you don't know about the Super 8.
Home 2 Suites decided not to sign the petition, but they really didn't have a good reason why, other than they were like, we just don't really have time to dig into this to understand it enough. We did recently have some dialogue with Home 2 Suites, and just this a few days ago, right, Chris? And they are eager at this point to try to work with us and to see what business we can help them bring. So even though they didn't sign the original petition, I kind of feel like they're in with us at this point. So we do have overwhelming support. So that would be 5 that are support and 2 there were no response from South Jordan, which is about the pattern in amount that we're seeing across the valley. There's about 70 plus hotels within the 9 municipalities that are involved.
So is there, you were talking about the golf tournament.
Yeah.
So is there actually a direct connection? In other words, are you actually pushing South Jordan hotels, or is it more of just a collective area within a certain radius? So how do we know if we're getting a great bang for our buck? In other words, where are you working the most? I don't want to hear that you're doing more in Sandy than South Jordan. don't tell me that, or I'm not going to be happy with you. So is there a direct connection with those events that you are staging here, or that you're helping with, that are hotels in our city are actually getting?
Well, I can tell you this, sporting events, as a parent, my daughter plays lacrosse, she's 15. I would want to stay in the closest hotel to the venue being used that I could. Now, some events are state of play. So meaning, I don't know if however many of you travel with kids or whatever, but you know, like a soccer event, so you go to these soccer events and that you have to stay in the hotel they tell you to stay in. Those are called state of plays. About half the time these sport tournaments are designed to be state of plays. About half the time they're not.
Those are much bigger tournaments than the golf one.
Yeah, the golf's not going to be a state of play. But yeah, we are going to target hotels closer in. Now, we used our regular funding for the AJGA. It wasn't tied into CTAA, where we would actually bring it in front of a committee made of hoteliers from this area. But it does make sense for us to try to target the closest hotels first.
The now, Chamber is also a sponsor of this golf event.
Yeah. So specifically for me is, are you giving them hotels that are in South Jordan, or are you just giving them hotels in South
Jordan? We start with the closest and work our way out. And we have a system that we can send out to hotels to get responses from. And it's oftentimes a lot of work to you know, you would think you could just send something out and get a whole bunch of responses back, but it is work. We have to call and we have to email. Now these two, I should say, these are amazing properties. They're both, if we ask them, hey, do you have availability? Can you provide a rate? Absolutely. But some hotels, we have to kind of chase that down. So we do have to go with the hotels that are actively pursuing the business. So that might mean a hotel either turns it down or goes unresponsive, even though we've reached out multiple times. So we do try our best efforts to put it in the closest hotels if we can.
Thank you.
And having a full service or higher caliber hotel like the Embassy Suites is a huge crown jewel in this. I'm sure you guys are very proud of the Embassy Suites. I mean, it's a fabulous hotel. I mean, if you're looking for that full service opportunity in this end of the valley, there's not any other than the Embassy Suites right now. Now we might eventually get a Radisson Blue over in Sandy, but that's project's been delayed for a while, so I don't even know the timeline on that. But yeah, it is a fabulous hotel.
And I do want to mention that we have had to turn down quite a few groups that have preferred our hotel and this location. We lose it to downtown Salt Lake City because we can't find
size.
Yeah, well, no, we can accommodate the size. The reason why we lost it is because we want to maximize every single room in our revenue, and these colleges want 160 rooms. I have 192. I can't give someone 160 rooms at a rate that, well, you know, one specific rate. I have to be able to manage, you know, and maximize it that way. But it just hurts me when I have to recommend Salt Lake City downtown, even though I came from Salt Lake City downtown and worked there before as well. It's just we want to keep it here, and we know what the economic impact will have on the restaurants and on the theaters and the experience of Utah without having to deal with a downtown. And so I actually had brought this up at our last committee meeting just last month and saying, is there any money or reimbursement or rebate or some kind of funding that would allow me as a hotelier to still make my money and still be able to accommodate large groups? And they keep coming back and asking, and they're like, are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I'm sure. But these are big name schools that want to come and stay in the city. And so I'm hoping that the CTAA will be able to help us accommodate groups that way.
Okay.
Councilmember Zander was asking earlier about what the rate would actually look like, the tax rate, and it never became clear in my mind. And so, so we're at 13.8 now.
Yeah. So it's a 2%. So you know, $100 room is going to add $2.
So it
depends on the rate of the room.
I understand that, but what happens to the 13.8? It goes up by how much?
It depends on the price of the room. What that 2% brings
it
to.
Does the percent go up?
Does it go to 15?
Yeah.
So it goes to 15.
Not
right?
What the gain is.
How the gain is. It doesn't.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, it's a 2%. So.
So the 13.8.
Yeah, so it would be added.
2%
of the. Be added onto that.
Does go to 15.
Yeah.
So listed separately as a separate.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Total would be 15.8. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't a mathematician in college, so.
No worries. Neither was I.
Thank you for clarifying, because that's what I was asking. I do have a separate question, Mayor, if that's okay. So you mentioned that you've already met with Sandy, Draper, and Riverton. None of them have voted yes on this, right?
Not formally. Okay. That'll happen tonight with Sandy.
With Sandy,
at 6 o'clock.
So you mentioned I would really like to glean from, you know, maybe things that they've learned that we're just hearing for the first time.
Yeah.
You said there were some concerns from one of the cities that you're working on.
Yeah.
What were those concerns?
There's been some concerns that were raised by two of the county council members that weren't in favor of it. The majority of the county council members were in favor.
Which city was this?
Riverton.
Riverton. Okay, so what was that concern?
They had brought up the concern of a program called Social Offset.
That's the question I have to ask.
Yeah.
Because it has been brought to my attention recently about Social Offset. And we've
right.
learned, as a city, we've learned a little more about it. We have heard from a few people. It is our county council members that are opposed to this, the ones who represent South Jordan, the two that represent South Jordan, that are opposed to this. But in learning more about Social Offset, I have to tell you, I'm a big fan of sports tourism and a big fan of bringing these people we want to bring them to our community.
Yeah.
We're proud of what we're putting in.
Yeah.
We're proud to showcase that and to be somewhere that can become a destination that is different than downtown Salt Lake City.
Right?
You can have a downtown urban experience. You can have a different, really great experience if you come to South Jordan, and we're proud of what we're putting in here. So I want that to be very clear. That being said, we've got residents who are concerned about the social offset side of Visit Salt Lake, and I'm one of them. Honestly, I am one of them. I don't want to market bringing folks to our part of the valley at the expense of what our residents hold dear, how they feel, whatever. And we've been elected to represent the residents of South Jordan City, and I understand about, you know, I've read quite a few things, and I heard the response at Riverton, you know, and I've watched that video and I've listened to it and things, tried to do some homework and understand really, you know, what the aim of that is. And I do understand if there's a boycott against coming to certain areas, we got to, you know, try to encourage people to come. I get that. But to me, it's not worth it at the expense of what we value here and what we hold dear. And if part of social offset is come and visit here, but since you might have different values than they have there, here's a list of organizations you can donate to be part of the change that needs to take place in the values in Utah. I don't agree with that. I actually love the values that we have here. I love this state, and our residents hold the values they have dear. They're not all the same values. We've got
right.
a far more diverse
right.
population here than
Absolutely.
I think we've ever had. But that being said, the residents of South Jordan, strong majority of residents of South Jordan have made very clear to us as their
mm-hmm.
elected representatives what their values are. And to me, it's
yeah.
supporting this. It has nothing to do with the tourism part of it. It has everything to do with our residents are absolutely not supportive of use any of that or have any, even if none of that money would go toward social
yeah.
offset. But if the organization responsible for it says, if you're going to bring people to South Jordan, great. But if you don't align with how they feel in South Jordan about XYZ social issue, here's some organizations you can donate to bring about change and change the opinion in Utah. Our residents aren't into that, and they're not supportive of it, and neither am I, to be honest. And that puts me in a hard spot because, like I said, big fan of tourism coming and the economic development that it, the economic boost that it provides, which we all know how much we need, which we're working hard to try to grow. But the social offset part is real, and
mm-hmm.
it's of concern to the residents of South Jordan. And I would be remiss if I didn't be honest and say, I don't love that. Governor Cox has said, you're all welcome to come to the state, but don't come and intend to change who we are. Don't come and intend to say, well, where I'm leaving, I didn't like for XYZ reason. So we're going to go to Utah, but we're going to change you into what I came from. Or, you know, come because you love it here, but people can come and bring whatever ideology, philosophy, beliefs, values they hold dear. But I don't want to promote having people come to South Jordan at the expense of what we hold dear here in South Jordan.
Right.
So I have to be really honest about that I have a hard time
clarify for me, where does the social offset come in? Is that part of this program?
Maybe I could say a few words about social offset. And I should say social offset, it's an independent organization separate from us. It doesn't have anything to do with the CTAA.
Okay.
Social offset is a private company. It was introduced to us in the fall of last year. At an industry conference. We did contribute out of our private funding, not public funding, a one-time sponsorship, a $5,000 sponsorship, to help fund research on the weaponization of travel. Because, and this is really on the convention side of the market that we've seen this. But we've also seen it bleed into sports. We've seen it bleed into NCAA. We've seen it bleed into things like the NBA All-Star.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that was out of our private funding, and that was for, again, for funding research on the weaponization of travel. So Social Offset, they work directly with these organizers, to select causes and charity, and they can share it with attendees, and the attendees can make a donation. So if the attendees have a strong, feeling to donate to something in our local area, they could. We don't solicit participation or identify with these organizations. We're apolitical. Our motive at the end of the day is to increase tourism, and that's where we focus.
I know, and I can appreciate that. And I appreciate hearing that. There is a quote here that I just need the council to hear, just because we have residents that are concerned about this, so you just need to hear it just because. So you can have, the council's the one who votes. I don't have a vote on this, right? But we have residents who want to make sure that you hear that. And I don't know Caitlin Eskelson, and I'm sure she's great, and I would like to know her. I would like to get to know her. I would like to meet her. But so this is nothing about her. It's just a quote from the president and CEO of Visit Salt Lake about why does Visit Salt Lake support social offset. Just to give you a little bit of context, that's been brought to my attention that I wasn't really aware of, and it's been helpful for me to have a breadth of more information just about it, even though I know that's not your main drive, right?
Yeah.
But it's a component. Salt Lake is a modern, progressive city full of open minds and fresh perspectives. So the moment I heard about social offset, I knew it was a great fit for Visit Salt Lake. We care deeply about many of the larger conversations taking place nationally and work with a wide variety of meetings, sporting events, and conventions with an extensive range of passions and opinions. Absolutely. Social offset provides Visit Salt Lake with a new asset for meeting planners so they can have a meaningful presence here and a seat at the discussion table on an array of issues. We can offer seamless avenue to support advocacy on a wide range of interests for our clients. It also allows our visitors to be part of making this city even better. We're proud to be Social Offset's first sponsor, and we look forward to hosting you in Salt Lake. That is a great quote. But as I dig into it, the explanation that I can find, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's more, if you're not aligned with the abortion policies that Utah's passed, here's a good way that you can have a seat at the table when you come visit to change that. So still come visit, but, have an impact on changing what's happening there. That's the concern. That's the concern that people are bringing up. That and other social issues, but in exchange for still come, don't boycott our city or our state, still come. But if you come, you can be part of making change about the values in Utah that you don't align with by donating to these, organizations or causes or whatever. That's the concern that's been brought up to me. And that is not about sports tourism. It isn't. It's not about filling our hotels. But it is in a roundabout way related. And if that's part of what has to happen, part of the incentive that has to happen in order to bring people here, I have a hard time supporting at the expense of the values that we have here, even if visitors don't align with it. I would never want to turn a visitor away because they don't align. I also wouldn't want to say, come here and make sure that you bring money to try to change what we are or who we are or whatever, Anyway, so.
Sorry to.
Go ahead.
Cut in. So your organization contributed to this other organization. Mm-hmm. You're apolitical, but they're not, obviously.
So how can you contribute and say you're apolitical? That is hard for me to wrap my arms around.
I'm not here today to argue any political sides.
Sure.
We are apolitical. We bid on things like the Republican National Convention. We want that very much to come to the city. We bid on all kinds of things. At the end of the day, we're trying to help our hotel partners and our community because the power of tourism alleviates so much in tax to the local community. The average household saves over $1,200 a year. That's from the Kim C. Gardner Policy Institute that comes up with that. So it's a powerful thing. And at the end of the day, these are business decisions.
So you made a business decision to donate to an organization that is not apolitical, clearly, with the idea that it would help bring more tourists to Utah who may otherwise be uncomfortable coming to Utah because they're weaponizing travel. Am I understanding that?
Private, a one-time private payment, not out of public funds, but... yeah, and this was again for to help fund the research. So,
I don't know what to ask.
You're still going around circling that one. Yeah. So I am too on some of that.
It's unfortunate that these organizers and these people that hold the keys to these big events are trying to weaponize it.
Yeah.
To force, you know, communities to, I'm assuming, adopt changes.
Other social values or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and these are giant events, you know, things like the NBA All-Star, or it could be NCAA events. We're doing this with the bathroom bill legislation that was passed across the country where they had pulled out of several cities. NBA All-Star had pulled out of Charlotte. So these things happen, and on the convention forefront, you don't see conventions on TV. Nobody's watching the Nurses Association on ESPN. But those types of things can have pretty big ramifications for our local tourism industry if they decide not to come.
So, Mayor, I think I'm just going to stick on the micro level, which is... We support a group who helps attract dollars to South Jordan. Those dollars trickle down in various ways to the community, including South Jordan City, and as well as other venues like our hotels and so on. But, you know, it trickles down, and we're able to use some of those trickle-down dollars in order to fund various things like recreation and other things that we do here, and that's how we benefit in that financial life cycle. And to me, that makes sense. The other macro stuff you're talking about, not so sure that our council is going to deal with those issues, and so I'm just not going to worry too much about them. That's my thought.
Our council doesn't get into, there's some councils that get really into the weeds about social issues that are outside of our council's
scope.
They just absolutely are. There's some who choose to do that. This is not a body that does. However, there's residents concerned about that, which is why I have to bring it up, which is why I have to. And I agree with that. I don't like that either. However... That's why we're all here to have this conversation.
You know, I should say, you know, we don't have values. We represent the tourism community and what our venues and our hotels want and need. And we're going to be out here working with your venues and your hotels to figure out what they want and need. And this is just another tool we can use to leverage to get more of these groups here. You know, I don't think we're going to be hosting divisive groups out here in South Jordan.
That's
these are
not
going to be
what
great.
I'm concerned
yeah,
about either.
Exactly.
That isn't my
exactly.
concern either. That's not what I'm envisioning. Any sort of chaos, or that's not what I'm thinking at all. Go ahead, did you have something to say?
Who made the choice to align with Social Offset?
That would be our CEO.
Where does that person reside?
Where do they reside? Here,
they're a Utah person.
They are, yes.
Okay, so the CEO is who? If you would.
Our CEO is Caitlin Eskelson.
Oh, that's her. Okay.
Yes.
So she made the decision to align with them. Could you, I mean, we're not going to vote tonight, but I would very much like the message to go back to Caitlin that it's super unappreciated by many of us that she made that choice. Because I would hate to vote no for a great opportunity to help our businesses. I would hate to vote no to stop an opportunity for growth and tourism. This is a fantastic thing that you're promoting.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have morals. And I was elected by thousands of residents. And I can't in good faith go back to them and say, I knew that there was a possibility that some of these funds would go support things that you guys are adamantly opposed to. And so for Caitlin, bless her heart, to make this decision, it's really hurting you. And I would really like to encourage you to go back and have a really strong conversation with Caitlin. That if you're not political, if you're apolitical, like you're saying, and amoral, that you don't have a moral stance on this, then get out of it. Step away. Stop promoting off social offset. She made a choice. So you're no longer apolitical, and you're no longer acting without morals because you are. That's my feeling. And so you as a body, what you're saying to us tonight, love it. Love it. I would love to vote yes. But Caitlin made a decision. So Caitlin needs to reconsider that decision, in my opinion. Because I don't feel comfortable like Mr. Marler. I can't say yes to this. So I will draw a line in the sand myself. Because I have too many friends and residents that will come and say, Tamara, why did you do that, knowing? And so I have to have that kind of accountability to the people that elected me. And I just feel that strongly about it. But I would love it if she would reconsider what she's done and back out of that arena. And let's just run this on a tourism level and stay out of the social issues. Because we as a body tend to try and stay out of that. And we would encourage you to do the same. Could you have that conversation with Caitlin?
Sure.
I would really love it if she could reconsider.
Okay.
Because her choice affects all of you and all of us.
Right.
And it will affect my vote.
Okay.
That's me personally. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Help me understand a little bit more, I guess, of how this organization is set up. You have the overall Visit Salt Lake umbrella. Mm-hmm. Are you guys part of that umbrella, or are you more of a sister organization of this 2%? Does it fund any money funnel up to Visit Salt Lake?
There's a very small percentage, and it's outlined in the management document, a very small administrative cost that would go back to Visit Salt Lake.
Okay.
Other than that, this money is kept in an entirely different bucket than how we're funded, which is off of transient room tax, which is where we get our funding. So, and yeah, Sports Salt Lake is a department within
Visit Salt Lake. You're just a department, though. You're not kind of a separate sister organization.
No.
You are a department.
No, I'm a Visit Salt Lake employee.
All right. Thank you.
And Patrick, I think you So there's a couple of things I have. And just one is, just in general, South Jordan, I mean, have you identified, the main areas? I know you mentioned the bees, but have you identified any other areas where you'd say, hey, here's, you mentioned the park with potential fields, but what else have you identified in the city where you would say, hey, we're going to target trying to bring in additional tourism?
Where it's what to bring in?
Yeah, additional tourism. Well, have you identified any other areas?
Yeah. In South Jordan, so... Your existing assets are nice. I mean, you've got your softball and baseball fields. Softball is one of the hottest sports in the country right now to go after from a tournament standpoint. There are more, you can tell I'm a sports guy, right? I live and breathe this stuff. There's more by quantity and size of softball tournaments than any other sport in the U.S. There's hundreds of them all over. We could bid on more of these, and we're working more closely with Salt Lake County Parks and Rec because they've got the newly renovated Valley Regional that's over in Taylorsville, and then we've got the newly renovated Larry H. Miller Complex that's over in Murray. And when you combine those with the South Jordan fields, we've got a lot of fields we can sell. And then West Valley has Centennial Park, which is an eightplex. So we have all the ingredients to be able to host large scale softball events, and these can bring in 500 to 1,000 teams. And And these can be youth teams. These can be senior softball's huge. And the seniors, these are retired people. They come in and they absolutely want to spend money. It's a vacation. It's a staycation while you're doing your sporting event. And, you know, they fuel our restaurants and our shops, and they spend plenty of money in the hotels. And it's a great business to go after. Great sector to go after. So I would say, yeah, the softball fields, the current fields, they're probably those. And, you know, I know the county largely funds the Rad Canyon, but those are two great assets here. And then the Glenmore Golf Course is with Darcy. She's like this goddess that we've just discovered Darcy and how much potential she has. And now we're like, okay, let's go after an LPGA event. This is a women's professional golf. So AJGA, who has affiliations with LPGA, has already asked us, hey, would you want to bid on this? And initial price tag, if you want to take any sort of wild guess on an LPGA, $200,000 to even get in the door. But you're talking about national recognition. You're talking about the whole country focused on the top female players, golf players. I mean, wouldn't that be cool to have right here in South Jordan? But
have you looked at another one that would be the Equestrian Center?
Yeah, absolutely. So I served on the Equestrian Board, Park Board for almost 2 years. Chris Robinson served on the Park Board. And then of course, Salt Lake County sold it to Utah State. So we lost a little bit of momentum there with them and kind of giving them some space to figure out sort of what they're doing over there. But we would like to re-engage with them more. And there are certainly big equestrian events you can go after. We were looking at one time when I was on the board over there, we were looking at the Cutting Horse National Championships. And Brian knows all about this stuff. He was on the board. But then you need things like, we need 100 more boarding stalls than it has. And we need RV hookups more than it has. So, you know, there were limitations, but there's a lot of things that we could potentially do with.
We did have the World Chariot Championships, but COVID.
Yeah, I think Brian actually piloted one of the chariots, right?
We raced chariots.
Bring that back.
When I was the
there's the barrel racing coming. Are you a part of that?
At the equestrian park?
Yeah.
No, but we would. Sports Salt Lake would. Chris, let's go check out the barrel racing. We would love to help market and promote. And what we like to do is engage with these events coming in and say, what can we do to help you enjoy the area more? We have discounts set up for activities like the aquarium and the zoo. We help set up discounts at restaurants. We try to get them to like engage with the community.
This is all great. Just pull that off.
Understood.
Mayor, I have one follow-up question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So back on the $5,000 contribution.
Okay.
It seemed like you said that was a one-time startup. Almost sounds like to me you might have been pressured to be political, even though you're apolitical as a group. Is that a continual? Is that something that you have committed to?
Not continual. It was a one-time payment. And we were on the launch program of that organization. There were us and a few other organizations, I believe. But it was just a one-time payment.
And what is, did you know what your position is going forward on that?
No.
Are you funding that in the future? That's
no,
my direct
we're
question.
Not funding it in the future.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that.
Thank you. Right. Mr. Walker. Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Two questions for you. One, are you considered public? And is your budget required to have a public hearing? Do you go through a public process for your budget?
We're a 501c6. Our budget goes in front of county council for approval.
So they're the governing board that approves it then. Okay. And then secondly, on the your promotion literature when you're attracting and bidding on clients, is this social offset included in your bid packaging?
I'm on the sports side of it. No, we don't use it in the sports sector. So it was one that was used for a certain targeted convention business is what it was primarily.
So if we had concerns about your budget, there is a public hearing, though, held at the county where people can come and talk to specific parts of your budget, or is it just presented to the county and they vote on it?
It's presented.
And there's not a public input process?
Not to my knowledge, but I'll follow up on this, Gary.
Okay.
So I follow up to that. I think what you're getting at, Gary, are you using that social offset as a marketing tool in some way?
I assume it would be used when in certain bids that are being packaged and delivered to groups to engage them with Salt Lake to try to win their business.
Okay, that was probably primarily what it was for to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to your knowledge, you're not actively going to pursue continuing that cost in the future?
To my knowledge, there was only the one time.
Who was the group that you used it to actively?
I don't. I can report back on that.
I'd like to know that.
Mayor, can I throw my ball? So I'm still trying to figure out when the two. So there's a portion of all the sales tax from a hotelier. Part of that is track funds that the county uses for recreation.
Right.
So does that extra 2% you're adding on go directly back to the track funds, who then the county redistributes that back to you? Or do you collect that specifically to your organization?
Those will be collected separately from those track funds.
And so I'm just trying to figure out from a tax perspective, because it is kind of like a tax, right?
It'll operate in terms of the collection of it.
Yeah, so like I'm just wondering, usually most tax revenue has a public hearing or some type of a accountability for it is what I'm guessing
right.
I'm asking for.
Right.
And I'm just trying to understand how does that funnel back.
There is
to
a
you?
Public hearing going on right now for the CTA, the county, the Salt Lake County public hearing.
We're also audited once a year.
Right. But the CTA...
Who audits you? Is it the state?
I believe we have a third party coming. So does the CTA go
through the state? I can't speak to the auditing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand.
We're oversighted by Salt Lake County, and our budget is...
But is that because you're getting track funds, or is that because of the way the structure of the district is set up?
Does this money go to the county and then back to you?
So the CTA would be collected by the county treasury, and then it would go back to us, separate from the normal funds.
Somewhere there has to be a public hearing. Is all I'm just trying to find
there
out.
There is a public hearing today.
Somewhere somebody has to. Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure I understand how the money's flowing back to you. And then you have a budget, obviously, and then that budget is to bid on these projects. And you're looking at it as a region, right? So you look at all the assets that you have and then what's available out there to bid on. And it could be softball or it could be basketball or whatever based on the venues you have available. Is that?
Yeah. Now, we're talking about CTA funds, there are three distinct regions that we're breaking it into. So the South Valley region is the region that South Jordan would be part of.
Oh, yeah.
Now, our normal funds, we represent the whole county. So there's no limitations on municipalities. So
my understanding, Clay, is that the CTA funds are not commingled with Visit Salt Lake's budget from Salt Lake County.
No, not at all. It'll be separate.
That's
totally separate.
Because it could be part of the county's budget, and then that's the public hearing that, you know, when the county does their budget. Like we have, you know, line items in our budget. I mean, I don't know.
The county is simply acting as the collectors, and they are going to oversight because they oversight us for our general funds.
The only reason I'm saying that, Mayor, is if there are constituents of ours that are concerned about the money and where it goes, do they have a place to go see it and make a public comment?
Yeah, my question, Mayor, is, and that's for Ryan, I guess. So we would adopt this by resolution, or is this a public hearing? To Gary's point, are we going through a process where people can publicly say, "I don't think you ought to support this"? Is that actually a public hearing on our side?
That's a resolution on your side.
That's our plan.
There's an ordinance on the county side.
Vote on a resolution.
So okay, you're planning on a public hearing.
Oh, yeah.
So then that
if we choose to go forward tonight, then absolutely we would
would schedule a public hearing and have a resolution for you to review ahead of time and have the public.
I haven't read the statute myself, but from the standpoint, if it's a resolution to authorize it to go in, that doesn't generally require a public hearing, though certainly we could always have one, and then there'd be circumstances.
I just assume we would because we usually do.
Yeah,
exactly. Rarely so do we not. So.
So there's no reason not to, but we're not appropriating money. We're not doing that ourselves, and the actual creation of the assessment area, from my understanding, is by the county. I do understand that much by it. And so they have to go through the assessment area creation process, which requires public input. But in a resolution like this one, it would be appropriate to hold a public hearing.
All of this is such helpful information. It is. It's super helpful information because right. There's a lot to unpack here.
It is.
Just to kind of add an exclamation point to my comments earlier, I'm a big fan of having tourism come. Sports tourism, all tourism. I'm also really proud of what we have to offer as Utah. And I've had lots of conversations. I've talked to Mayor Wilson. I know what some of the organizations have said. I know what the NCAA has kind of come back with, and the NBA and with the All-Star. I know that some of these things have been really challenging and a lot of work to try to hold on to. And they bring a lot of revenue to the state, to the county. I know that. To the communities. I get that. I think we have a lot to offer here in Utah for what we are. And I don't agree with the idea, as I said, of saying, still come, but you're welcome to try to change us. You know, if you don't align with us. It's unfortunate if you choose not to come because you don't align politically with certain social opinions of the legislature or whatever, or residents here. That's really unfortunate. I wouldn't not go somewhere because they feel differently than I do about something, you know, so that's really unfortunate. But I get that there's a hard dollar connected to it that's real, and it can be substantial. I get that. We work really hard to try to promote economic development here and get as much as we can to keep our tax base low for our residents and our property taxes. We get that, and we appreciate that. I just appreciate all this information and would love to see us market Utah for what we are, not for what people can do to try to change what we are. So with that, anybody have any additional questions, thoughts?
I'd love to get answers to the requests we made.
Thanks. Yeah, it's good. It's a great information and a great presentation, and appreciate your work, and we're glad you found Darcy.
Well,
Darcy is a one-word sentence that has the biggest, right? Like, Darcy, everybody goes,
where
she is, though. She's a one-word sentence, Darcy, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, she is. You know what I mean? I mean, it's Darcy, you know?
I just want to add, this is not, you know, I don't want it to feel like a high-pressure sell. At the end of the day, if you decide not to walk away from this particular thing, we're still going to do whatever we can to promote these venues out here, and I'll still contact you, Mayor, and work with you guys around the area. We'll do whatever we can.
We'll do everything we can to try to help fill our hotels and to keep what we have to offer.
So where to go from here? Would you like another work session meeting where they can come back
and answer
these questions?
Would you like us on the agenda in 2 weeks
had?
To vote on this?
Or do you want to move forward to a...
Well, I think we put it on the council agenda. That'll be my... Thank you.
With a public hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just want to make sure we knew where we're going.
Will you be able to come back with answers in 2 weeks, or do we need to push it back?
And we can push it out to you, whatever you like.
I was going to say, I think you could come back with answers before that meeting so they know going into the meeting what those answers are.
That would be really helpful.
That'd be awesome. I don't
know. Because then with your answers, we can do a little more homework and come in with how we feel we need to align with our votes.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
For your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your work. Thank you for being here.
Thank you all. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Thank you.
By the way, Don's a workout holly.
Thank you. Thank you so
much. Every morning, 6 o'clock, hot works. I see.
Thanks, Jay.
See you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate you.
All right. We amended our agenda to add item E2, and I feel bad even saying that with Grant in the room. It just was left off the agenda, and I don't know why. It was just an oversight. It's been on the.
I'll own it. It was my fault.
It's okay. It's all good. Grant Farnsworth with UDOT. We're happy to have you here. Yes, please. Please come to the table. Thank you so much for being here. And We think we look forward to this presentation. I hope we look forward to this presentation. So, thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
The character with the crazy beard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you. And I heard great things about, we'll have to visit about the Davis, California. I heard great things about happening there. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was a good visit.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Jeremy represented us on an active transportation learning experience with Wasatch Front Regional Council that everybody came back and said, he's so great. Represents you guys so well. He's awesome. I'm like, he is. So
it was a fun
conference.
I got to ride a bike, so
good.
It was fantastic.
Good. No, thank you. Appreciate it. Well, Grant, thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here. Fortunately, I didn't get to go on that tour. I was planning on to it, but I've actually recently accepted a new position at UDOT, so this will be my last presentation, but you have a great Region 2 planning manager coming, who was the Region 3 communications manager. So he'll be even better at talking in situations like this than I will be, and we'll have all of the technical jargon. But we wanted to follow up with you about kind of where the study ended up and some of the additional evaluation that we did, looking at 114th South and some of the this deliverable that you guys can use and share with your citizens, and kind of what are the next steps from this point. So Jeremy and Brad were really helpful, and other stakeholders from partnering for neighboring cities and also the organizations like WFRC been really helpful in finishing up this study. And so we've developed this story map. We don't usually do reports anymore with PDFs. We find these to be a little bit more helpful and being able to live on rather than just to get lost. And so we call these story maps. And so this is a link that Jeremy will share with all of you that you can share with you. This is can be shared with the public, and you can post it on your website if you'd like to. It's already posted on our website. But this kind of encapsulates all of the work that was done. And we have an executive summary. If you want to scroll down a little bit of as we looked at 114 South, from I-15 to Bangor, we went through a lot of what are the primary goals and objectives of this corridor, what are some of the options that we had to look at, and we really, some of the options that we were looking at were an imbalanced lane, where it was 3 lanes westbound and 2 lanes eastbound, which really helped us to keep that within the right-of-way without impacting the nearby houses too great or the businesses. And then we also looked at 3 lanes each direction. And while we were looking at the 3 lanes, the imbalanced alternative, we also made some adjustments to that to also refine how that was performing. So as you scroll down, you'll kind of show this kind of gives you an overview in case people want to look at it. Each of those are queryable of if you want to go into it. But if you go up a little bit further, this gives you kind of the travel time updates. You'll notice there's a 2A, because we were kind of got the green light last time to really look a little bit closer at this imbalanced lane, that both options 2A and 3 include a through U-turn at just 40th West, just west of Bangor Highway. And so we were looking at some of the travel time improvements. And so you can still see that there's, I think the current travel time without any delay is about 10 minutes or so, and so you can still see that there's still, we reduce what is exist. This is 2050, I should say. That's probably not as clear as it should be, but the 2050 travel time is 67 minutes if we do nothing. So
from 40th to I-15?
Yeah, well, the westbound would be, yeah, from I-15 to 40th West.
67
so,
minutes.
Yeah, so...
2050.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and so this
will I still be alive by then?
Yeah. So this is again if we did nothing, but if we did the imbalanced lane and the two-way represents, we looked at just adding also right turn pockets during the through the district area, and that had big effect as well. 35 minutes for option 3 kind of represents without turn pockets and it would be a similar 45 minutes if we added right turn pockets in that option three. So,
and that's at River Heights and Summer Heights, kind of those two roads.
Yeah.
So as they're westbound, they can turn right.
Yeah.
Without waiting at a light.
And so they don't share the same lane.
Yeah. Okay.
Reduces the queue length.
Got it. Yes, the queue lanes are terrible. Okay.
Yeah. So when you share through and right, you're always like, why aren't they going forward? And they're making turn and not using their blinker. And
yeah.
So you're talking about using the blinker.
That's right.
In the right lane.
That's right.
Exactly.
So that was a discovery of that was a very big benefit, even more than the through turns actually. And so eastbound, it was surprising to see that it was similar in the AM, which we don't have shown here. They were similar, but there was one of the things that we looked at also is just what is feasible to be built without major impacts. And that's how we got our costs. So you'll see there, these are high-level costs of just doing some high-level concepts, not really engineering or designing with our full lane widths. So we have 12-foot shoulders or 12-foot lanes, and that's usually what we have as our standards. We can go up to 11-foot. We just need to make the exceptions for that. The reason why I dive it down into those details is because if you actually clicked on the two-way, you go over there. The one and the options moving forward on the left side next to the cost. There you go. I guess it's not an option. Let me see where I was clicking on it then.
The options move.
Is 2040?
2050.
Let's see. So as you go down,
27 years.
So that kind of gives you a high-level overview of there's the section within the district, which is 5 to 7 lanes. And if you go scroll down a little bit further, you can see past east of the district is just the imbalanced lanes from 6 going or 3 going westbound, 2 going eastbound.
And that imbalanced section is from 1300 west up to 3600 west. So through the district with either option, it would have similar lane configuration.
Yeah.
It would have a 3-lane construction through the district.
Yep.
Is that the one that was just above?
Yeah, that was further off to the west. So that's all the way from 40th West to 13th West, is these two diagrams. But you notice one has 5 to 7 and one has 5 to 6 lanes. So we did explore having kind of innovative intersections or continuous flow intersections where you turn left early. That didn't have a big benefit at Redwood Road. And so we didn't include that in this concept.
And the impacts were very big.
So. And that's like what you have at 47th going onto Redwood Road, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it does have locations where it's really good to do that.
Yeah, I'm just making sure I'm envisioning the right thing, but that's what came to mind. Okay.
So that's why it was not included here. But then the further south, the other option again is these are kind of basic because it would just be 3 lanes. East of the district as well, and that had a much larger because each of these options had a shared use path, so a pedestrian facility about 10 to 12 feet beside the road where people could walk and bike without being right next to the road, that would be included in each of these options. So there would still be a sidewalk on the north side, but not this shared use path, which is a little bit wider and more comfortable. So with that, you could again see the a little bit as a loss to why you can't connect to that. Let's try going to conclusions. That's it. So if you go to the top tab, and I'll update this so you can access it from this point in the executive summary. But if you see the top ribbon where it says executive summary, introduction, context, goals, they go all the way to the second to last conclusions. If you scroll down, it talks about what we concluded. So this again is not to be built tomorrow. There was some concern about what. There you go. Yeah. So if you want to look into like what this actually looks like and how we came up with some of these costs, this still has a lot of engineering work to be done, and so it can scare citizens when they see like total take on their house or something like this. That's why I mentioned that. The 12 feet potentially can, when we do design these, some of we'll try to really make some good engineering decisions and try to be as less impactful as decrease our impact. We don't want to just take homes because, you know, it's 12 feet, it's 12 feet.
So, are there any homes being taken along there?
So if you scroll down, you'll see them kind of in green. So you see there's one there. And again, so 6 feet makes a big difference if you go from 12 feet down to 11 feet across the whole section. So there's things that could be done to mitigate this, some of these impacts.
What's that street on the bottom left? What west is that?
36, I think.
And that's right behind Harmon's.
So that's Harmon's. Okay.
So real quick, also, on the three lanes eastbound, we actually couldn't do three lanes eastbound the whole way unless we took out that those businesses. You can see those that kind of butt up right next to the road on the east side of 3600 West. So we just assumed that we would not do that. And so it's not really even a three lanes eastbound. Once you get past that, we open up into three lanes just because we assume that would be a fatal flaw. There's no one in the right mind that say drive it through those businesses. So that was one thing is, even though it say three lanes eastbound, it's not really three lanes eastbound just because that's never going to fly. So, and that's also kind of why you saw the similar eastbound travel time is because you have to bottleneck there. There's just no easy way to wiggle that in. Otherwise, you'd have a huge jog to the north there. So just kind of sometimes, since this is going to be a public document, in case you shared this, I wanted to kind of give you a, if someone goes and sees something, I want them to kind of take that with a caveat that this is still high level, some full standards, and there's a lot that we can still do, still to be done, to be engineered, where we can mitigate a lot of these impacts and even reduce those costs. But this was really to help us have a plan that we can feel on board with, that the city is more supportive of than what was in the general master transportation plan. And we can put in the RTP, the Regional Transportation Plan from WFRC, and kind of have it be on the docket as it goes through the project prioritization process of figuring out potential cost. And so that was kind of this effort. We worked with WFRC. We, from our initial feedback, we felt like the 2A project was good. So what's currently being updated in the draft Regional Transportation Plan and has funding associated with that, but it's not programmed or funded. And it would still have to go through an environmental document to really hash this out a lot further.
Is the goal to get this in phase one?
It's not. It's to have it be, our goal was to just have a project that the city supported. And then figure out from there. There's a lot of east-west corridors that need to be built. 106 South only got to Redwood Road. You know, pushing that all the way out seems to make a lot more sense to me than this one. But that's also for your guys' input as well as your priorities. But this is more just to make sure that this is in step with what you guys see as being a right project. Because there is a funding amount associated with it. We can always change it if the environmental dictates that should be the course. But it's always good to check in and make sure that we were reading you guys correctly. I believe you had the concern or were interested into seeing how the three eastbound lane performed and what some of those impacts would be. And so we, if you click back out of this and into the three, you can kind of see some of those impacts as well. And those kind of push a lot more into those southern or the northern houses. So, but it just didn't provide that impact. So this is just kind of an update that we're going to, it's now updated on the long-range plan as this rather than three lanes, but it is three lanes through the district because that made a big difference. And it seemed like we had good support from the city council, so we wanted to make sure that, or see if there's anything else that was concerning or would be helpful.
Grant, just a question. You mentioned 106, and you'd rather see that get pushed through first. I guess, what are the traffic count difference? Because any day, I would rather take 106 than 114th if I'm getting off I-15. I mean, 114th, I just plan on parking my car.
and not moving very fast. Okay. Versus 106, I feel like I at least stay moving with how it is right now. And 114th, with the stadium and that going in, I mean, they're both going to absorb more traffic, but it seems like 114th is going to fail faster to me.
I think it was just because we have three lanes all the way to Redwood Road, and if we had three lanes to Bangor, then that would give us high capacity, just a bigger corridor to be able to push traffic through. I haven't been looking at the traffic information of where the delay is greater.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, that's fine.
Yeah,
I want to understand a little better.
Yeah, that's all. So there could be reasons for pushing the other one as well.
Like Grant mentioned, kind of the main purpose of this study that we engaged in is to, we found this need in our master transportation plan, but we just knew it was a problem, but we didn't know how to deal with it. Yeah. And so it was to try and develop some solutions and something to actually put on the books so that we could start refining, you know, options.
And I appreciate that effort. Because if we just waited until it was a complete failure, then we'd be another 20 years before we could try and fix it. So.
Yeah. And I think it was pretty innovative, the scenarios. I mean, they looked at a lot of options. And so, you know, to come down to these two options, we've gone through a lot to get here.
Yeah.
I guess this is for both of you. What would a target goal of being able to do? Are we looking 30 years out? Is it 20 years out? What kind of a vision do you see for a project like this time-wise? If you, as transportation planners and experts, could say, well, ideally it would happen at this time, or there's no way it's going to happen before this time or something.
There is quite a bit funded out already. I know the lot was, or the bonding was paid off, or that's planned to be paid off, so we're pushing projects forward, and that should free up funding later on, towards the end of the decade. And so I think one of the things that I heard when we started this project is just understanding how Bangor Highway becoming a freeway and how Mountain View Corridor becoming a freeway would impact the travel demand on 114th South. And so I think having those projects go through, and there'll be a lot of construction, as we can see with the when nearby construction was going on, it raised the diversion, and that was kind of frustrating for citizens. And so I think it'll be helpful to see how, once those projects are finished and how people change their habits, it'll be nice to have greater confidence of this project is still needed and this is how traffic has changed. We can still update our models. They're the best information that we have. They're not perfect, but then we can plug that in and make sure it is still the right solution and go forward. So I think we have it in phase two need currently in the draft regional transportation plan. And I think that's a good spot for it, that after all that construction can be...
Phase one work gets done.
Yeah.
And just for the record, for anybody who might be listening, phase one of the regional transportation plan priorities would be the next 10 years. Phase two would be the 10 years after that. Phase three would be the 10 years after that. And there's a lot of, as you said, room to get phase one projects done and then reevaluate and go, is this still, you know, what kind of impact? Has it been as much impact as the modeling has shown? Because it's our best modeling, best estimates, but revisit it with hard data once that exists, right?
Yeah.
It's helpful. Any questions from anybody?
I want to make sure it's clear in my mind. So 2A has three lanes going both directions through the district, has the U-turn feature west of 40th, and then it has two lanes eastbound and three lanes westbound.
That's correct.
East of the district.
That's right.
Okay.
Down to 1300 west.
Yeah, the three westbound lanes start at 1300 west.
So 13th, it's three lanes. 13th to the freeway, it's three lanes both ways?
From 13th west to Bangor, it's three lanes going westbound.
Westbound.
Yeah, and then you're right, three lanes eastbound to the district, through the district to 3600 west, and then it drops it two lanes all the way out to the freeway.
Okay. Great.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Grant, I'm going to invite you to share what your new responsibilities will be. You know, there's some reconfiguring taking place. There's some new opportunities coming up. Would you like to share what you'll be doing?
I'm not in any of those big other reconfigurations, but I am going to be the freeway operations manager, so I'll be over the express lanes and the ramp meters. So that'll be the group. We're looking at trying to do some coordinated, adjusted, adaptive ramp metering. So really maximizing. It's kind of sad when our freeway system, you need it the most capacity. When it gets congested, it reduces to lower capacity. Mm-hmm. And so the ramp meters help us manage it so that we have it running at the highest capacity that we can as long as we can. So we're going to be trying some innovative things there. So
awesome. Good. Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, our time is up. So unless anybody has anything else, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second that.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. This meeting is adjourned.